Do you know what kind of car the Apostle Paul wanted us to drive? Well, it's a Honda, of course. It says so right here in the passage we're studying today, so that with one accord you may glorify God. So I figure Pam, whose car it looks just like, and Barb are right where they ought to be. Well, with a sermon opening like that, you know you're in trouble, don't you? We better pray. Lord, we humor aside, and humors is great, but humor aside, our deep desire is to hear from you this morning, to have you speak in ways unmistakable to our hearts, to open your word, to open our ears, open our hearts. We sit in willing bonds before your feet. Now, Lord, speak. Your servants are listening. Amen. In chapters 12 of 4 through 14 of Romans, Paul has been unfolding practical, personal application. It goes way beyond what kind of car to drive. Practical, personal application based on the doctrinal truths of the first 11 chapters. He continues this approach in chapter 15, where we find ourselves today. Let's turn to Romans chapter 15. And here in Romans 15, he exhorts, may I say, he urges the Christians at Rome and us today as to how to relate to our brothers and sisters, but not just how to relate to our brothers and sisters, how to relate to our brothers and sisters with whom we differ. Those brothers and sisters with whom we have difficulties. Now, I know none of you have that problem, but perhaps one of your friends does. So we'll go ahead and cover this material in the event that you can help your friend, or in that unlikely event that you should encounter a difficulty in relationship with a brother or a sister, then it may help you as well. I would like to frame our discussion this morning as follows. The message of how to relate to our brothers and sisters with whom we have difficulties, the model of how to relate to our brothers and sisters, and the motive of how to relate to our brothers and sisters with whom we have difficulties. Our text reveals these three, the message, the model, and the motive, among others. Let's go first to the message. How are we to relate to our brothers and sisters, especially those brothers and sisters with whom we differ? Those brothers and sisters with whom we have difficulties. In our text, Paul uses three phrases that tell us how to relate to our brothers and sisters. I want us first to look for those three phrases, and those three phrases, if I've done my homework, and if I hope I have, and I hope you agree that I have, if I understand these three phrases correctly, they will give us the word that I'm looking for of the message of how to relate to our brothers and sisters with whom we have difficulties. Let's begin reading in 15, verse 1. We who are strong have an obligation to bear with the failings of the weak and not to please ourselves. Paul doesn't waste any time getting down to business, does he? We who are strong have an obligation, there's the opening phrase, to bear with the failings of the weak. He doesn't call them differences of opinion. He doesn't call them idiosyncrasies. He doesn't call them a lot of things. He calls them failings. Some of our relational difficulties are because people, weak people, he says, have failings. Not us, of course, but those other people. He says we are to bear with the failings of the weak. There are a lot of ways we can deal with other people's failings. You can think of some of them. Sarcasm is one of them. Put downs. There's a lot of ways that we deal with people's failings. Ignore them. But Paul says we are to bear with the failings of the weak. Now let's keep reading. Verse 2, let each of us must please our neighbors for their good, to build them up, For even Christ did not please himself, but as it is written, the insults of those who insult you have fallen on me. The second phrase Paul uses to express the message is, please our neighbor. Now most of us find that this comes quite naturally, don't we? We'd much rather please ourselves than our neighbor, wouldn't we? And especially when it's a neighbor with whom we have difficulty, right? Is anybody with me? These are jokes. Please our neighbor. Yeah, that comes real easy, doesn't it? And let's keep reading, verses 4 to 7. For everything that was written in the past was written to teach us, so that through the endurance taught in the Scriptures and the encouragement they provide, we might have hope. May the God who gives endurance and encouragement give you the same attitude of mind toward each other that Christ Jesus had, so that with one mind or one accord and one voice you may glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Accept one another then, just as Christ accepted you, in order to bring praise to God. The third phrase Paul uses to express the message of how to relate to our brothers and sisters with whom we have difficulties is accept one another. Now, our various English translations use the words either accept or welcome or receive here. And each of these words communicates some aspect of the word that they're translating. There's some substantial overlap. Here's a visual of it, the Greek word, and then the word accept has a considerable amount of the meaning of that Greek word, so does receive, and so does welcome. Each of those gives us some of the meaning of that Greek word that Paul used. Let me give you a couple of examples from other scriptures. We come to this one, accept, we just did a week or two ago, accept the one whose faith is weak, without quarreling over disputable matters. There's the sense of accept. Then this one, if you regard me, Paul was writing to Philemon about Onesimus, the runaway slave who had come to Christ and now was returning in subjection to his master, Philemon. If you, Philemon, Paul wrote, regard me as a partner, receive Onesimus back as you would receive me. So there's some more of the sense of that word. Accept and receive. And then there's this one. Luke wrote this. The islanders, Paul and the others, had been shipwrecked, and they were on this island. And the islanders, it says, showed us unusual kindness. They built a fire and welcomed us all, because it was raining and cold. So there's the sense of welcome. So your different English translations have to pick, and they did, and they chose, in this case, accept, receive, or welcome, and they are right in many ways, but I wanted you to have the fuller sense. So now you get the sense of what Paul is urging then when he says, accept one another, welcome one another, receive one another. Who's he talking about that we're to receive and welcome and accept? The ones that are weak, have failings, the ones with whom we differ, the ones that rub us the wrong way. No, not me, but you know, you maybe. I'm the one rubbing you. Think about the differences Christ came to overcome, that Christ overcame in order to accept us, to welcome us. Yeah, that's what Paul's saying. The Bible says that we were enemies to God because of our sin, and in that condition, Christ died for us. Enemies, sinners. So we are to accept, we're to welcome, we're to receive our brothers, the ones it is difficult to accept, welcome, and receive, because Christ did that for us. Now, here are the three phrases Paul uses, and what is the message that he's trying to communicate on how to relate to those brothers who are failing and weak and with whom we differ? How would you summarize those three phrases into one word? Well, let me move on, before we fill that in, to the model. Let's go to the model of how we are to relate to one another. It might become more clear. We see the model in two places in our passage. Here's the first one. Each of us should please our neighbors for their good, to build them up. For even Christ did not please himself, but as it is written, the insults of those who insult you, God, have fallen on me. So the model then, underlined, is Christ. Each of us should please our neighbors, for even Christ did not please himself, but the Father. How about this one? Accept one another, then, just as Christ accepted you, in order to bring praise to God. For I tell you that Christ has become a servant of the Jews to show God's truthfulness. So the model, then, is Christ. Now, if the model is Christ, what then is the message that bear with one another's failings, accept one another, and please our neighbors? Well, let's see if we can see it. I think it's visible even in Christ's example, his model. What did he model? Accept one another then, just as Christ accepted you, in order to bring praise to God. For I tell you that Christ has become a servant of the Jews to show God's truthfulness. So I believe the message, and we see that in a couple of ways in our passage before us today. He served the Jews. He served the Father. He pleased him. And I believe the message then is to serve. So the message of how to deal with those who, brothers and sisters, with whom we have difficulties, you might say, is it could be, these things could be summed up in love, and I would agree with you, but I think it goes one step beyond love into the effect of a love that acts. And so I've chosen the word serve, and I think it bears out in these phrases and in our text. Now, let's go and see the next thing. What then is the motive? How we are to relate to our brothers and sisters with whom we have difficulties? The message is to serve. The model is Christ himself. What then would be the motive? May the God who gives endurance and encouragement give you the same attitude of mind toward each other that Christ Jesus had, so that with one mind and one voice you may glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. There's more. Therefore, accept one another as Christ has accepted you. Why? For the glory of God. There's more. For I tell you that Christ has become a servant of the Jews to show God's truthfulness, so that the promises made to the patriarchs might be confirmed, and moreover, that the Gentiles might glorify God for his mercy. And there's more. And as it is written, therefore I will praise you among the Gentiles. I will sing the praises of your name. Again, it says, rejoice, you Gentiles, with his people. And again, praise the Lord, all you Gentiles. Let all the peoples extol him. Just like in worship this morning, all the words George reminded us of. What is then the motive? The glory of God. The glory of God. The glory of God is why Paul says, you would put up with, you would bear with the failings, why you would please another, why you would accept, why you would accept the one who has difficulties with you. So then there's the message. The message is to serve. The model is Christ himself. And the motive is the glory of God. All right, so we can go home now. Well, maybe. But I just couldn't let it go at that. And I had to start asking myself, what does this look like? What does it look like when you and I live this way toward people who are with whom we have difficulties, people who are difficult to live with. What does it look like if you treat me this way when I'm difficult with you, toward you? Well, serving our brothers and sisters with whom we differ, with whom we have difficulties, let's go back to that phrase, means bearing with the failings of their weak. What are examples of bearing with the failings of the weak? Well, sometimes it helps to think of the opposite. So what would be examples of not bearing with the failings of the weak? I touched on them a little bit ago, but there might be, instead of bearing with the failings of the weak, we point them out. We remind people, yeah. Or we niggle or nag or put little jabs in there. And it works especially well when someone else is listening, doesn't it? Or there's a third party. Then our jab goes a little further, doesn't it? Is that bearing with the failings of the weak? Not at all. How does that sound? Oh, you bounced another check, huh? What was I doing there? Bearing with the failings? No, I was seeking a little bit of a something there. How about, you do realize you're late, right? What was that? Or to someone who just is always busy, you just can't say no, can you? Might not be my problem, but it's obviously yours, and I felt compelled to point it out, right? Am I bearing with the failings of the weak? How about this one? You perfectionists drive me crazy. I mean, a lot of these can be said in true jest or warm-heartedness, but a lot of times there's that edge, isn't there? And we are doing anything but bearing with the failings of the weak. And so if we're not bearing with the failings of the weak, are we bearing the weaknesses of those without strength, the way Paul has said? This word bear with is, this word that we translate bear with means get under and carry the load. Sam's nodding. It's used of carrying something like shouldering a burden. You've got a burden, and I don't just watch you point out that burden's heavy or something like that. I get up under it with you and shoulder it. In Galatians 6:1, it talks about bearing one another's burden. Or Galatians 6, it talks about bearing one another's burdens. Get underneath, put it on your shoulders, and you might carry it like a stone water pot or a stretcher. These are examples we have. Or a person, you're carrying a person. Or a yoke. Bearing with their failings doesn't mean you ignore their failings. It doesn't mean that you don't have constructive conversation about those failings. It doesn't mean that you don't help them address their failings. But bearing with their failings does mean that they've failed, and shall we say again, they have failed again. And you're charged, I'm charged, we are charged to bear with those failings. Prophets have a hard time with this because they feel it's their God-appointed gift to point out these. Mercy people are wonderful to watch when this sort of thing happens. How can we do this with the procrastinator? How about this? Okay, I'm going to bear with that procrastinator's failings. How can I do that? How about if I say this? Okay, what can I do to help us get back on schedule? Well, that would be a good way to help a procrastinator, right? It's to bear with them, but help them. How about someone who's bitten off more than they can chew? And you might say to them, man, I love your optimism. Let's work out the details of how we're going to get this done. Okay? Bearing with the fit. How about the person who is easily discouraged? How would you bear with that person's failings? It's okay. We're going to get through this together. Come on. Let's do it. Instead of, come on, snap.